Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Text upon which we base the meditation is the gospel lesson we read before and which is in the back of your bulletins. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, as you have told us to count the cost and so to go forward in faith and with confidence, we pray that you would enable us to plan wisely and then in faith and with your guidance, go forward in service and bring the gospel to all people. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our gospel text for today tells us that there were large crowds of people coming to Jesus. Many people were coming to hear him teach and to preach, to tell them about the way of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ and forgiveness. But these people were what we would call a mixed lot of people. Some of them came because they were committed in faith and trust to Jesus as their Savior. Others came just because their friends did, and they wanted to go along. And then there was others that just sort of came out of curiosity. They didn't really know why they were there, but they didn't want to miss anything, so they come out of curiosity. And so there's this whole mixed lot of people coming to hear Jesus with all sorts of different levels of commitment and interest in Jesus as their Savior. And so Jesus is aware of that. And that's why he raises the question here for them today in our text about the cost of discipleship, the cost of being a disciple of Jesus. Jesus suggests that those people should count the cost. God doesn't want and doesn't have any room in his kingdom for people who are sort of defense straddlers, neither for nor against him. He wants our love to be complete and total. Commit ourselves to him completely, or reject him and fight against him. And so the cost of being a disciple can be counted in different ways for different people. It's one thing for me, it's another different cost probably for you. It's a different cost for people around you and throughout the world. The cost of serving Christ, of being a disciple, is different. But in all cases, God must have first place. We are to fear and love and trust in God above all things. And Jesus says, if we desire to be one of his disciples, we must then be willing to hate our father and mother, our brothers and sisters. We must even hate our own life and our own way of living. Now, that seems kind of strong to us and kind of strange to us that we must hate and at times separate ourselves from family and friends. But if we want to remain as one of Jesus' disciples, then we must be willing to do that at times. And at times, in various parts of the world, and especially in the early church, that was exactly the case. In parts of our mission fields today, if you want to commit your life to Christ, it literally means that you are separated and forced to separate from family and friends. And so the first thing that we must do is count the cost. In order to count the cost, we are to obey the first commandment. The first commandment is what Jesus is talking about here. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Have no other gods before us except God, our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Hindus and the Muslims of this world, if one of those should happen to decide to become a Christian, very often they are forced to separate from family and friends. And not only that, they're often forced to leave their job, and their spouse and even their children are taken away from them if they decide to join and become part of a Christian church. And so we need to count the cost. The cost of being a Christian in those areas is much different than us. We haven't been forced to make those kind of decisions in our lives, generally. And so we're asked to count the cost. If it came down to a choice between serving God and staying with family and others, who would we choose? And do we ever put that kind of choice before others around us? Unfortunately, I think if we look at some of our actions at times, we probably are guilty of kind of making and forcing a choice on others around us. This happens especially when, let's say, a young person is thinking about and talking about maybe becoming a professional church worker, pastor, DCE, missionary, or teacher in our schools. And what happens? We as parents or grandparents or others around who know that person probably say to him, you know what that means. Several years of school. Then if you go in the mission field, you're probably going to be separated from family. Won't see them for maybe a year or maybe several years. You won't be able to see any family. If your grandfather or grandmother dies, you're probably not going to get back for the funeral. And so we're telling them the cost, what it's going to cost to be that kind of a disciple. Now, that's good at times that we do that, but if we then fail to follow it up with encouragement and say, despite that cost, I really think you should study, I think you would be a good pastor, a good missionary, and encourage them to do so, if we don't do that part of it, then what we've told them is the cost is too high. We think you should reconsider this. We don't think you're ready to make that kind of expense and pay that kind of cost to serve Jesus in that vocation in your life. And so, look at our actions. How are we doing when it comes to encouraging others to commit their lives to Christ? Or are we saying to them, I'm not sure the cost is worth it? And if that's the case, it probably says more about our own commitment to God and our own commitment to faith than it does the other person's commitment. So we need to be careful that we don't put any of these things of this world ahead of God and the service of God. There's no greater occupation in one sense than serving God as a pastor or missionary or teacher or DCE. Those are great vocations, and God would encourage us to have them. But there's also nothing wrong with serving God as a layperson, as a teacher, as a businessman, a worker, a laborer, banker, lawyer, doctors. Those are all good and valid vocations as well. But there's a cost of being a disciple in every vocation. Even in all those what we would call secular vocations of the world, if we're going to be serving Christ and God and living as a Christian in those things, there's a cost. Some of our fellow workers are going to harass us for being a Christian and living that faith. Are we willing to pay that cost, or are we going to sort of ignore that day and become part of them, join them in their dispersing of the church and dispersing of Christ? If we're unwilling to pay the cost, then God says there's no room in the kingdom of heaven for us. And that's why he tells us to count the cost. He says, take for an example somebody who's going to build a new business, a tower. And he starts building it, and then halfway through decides the cost is too much, and he gives it up. He doesn't finish building that business, doesn't finish building that house, he walks away from it. Or he says, the person who's the leader of a country and another nation is coming to war against him, he says, you should count the cost before you enter into that war and battle. Maybe there's a way to find peace without paying that high cost of lives and peoples. And so Jesus tells us that's what it means to be his disciple. He makes us aware of the cost. But he also calls on us to commit ourselves to him. Commit ourselves, our life and our heart to God, to live in his love, to live in faith. It's commitment of our whole self to God as one of his disciples. It's a commitment, if need be, to leave family and friends, leave behind wealth and the things that we might enjoy in this world. Leave those all behind in order that we can faithfully serve our Savior, Jesus Christ. And the result is, if we make that commitment, the result is that we have a life of contentment here on this earth. We're content and we're at peace because we know God loves us. We know that God has forgiven us our sins. We know that we shall live with God in heaven in the joys of paradise forevermore. And so while the cost may seem high to us day by day in some sense, when we look at the big picture, we see that, yes, the cost is not that much. It's not that much because it enables me to serve my God and to live with my God forevermore in the mansions of heaven. And so let's build God's church here in this area. Build it. Build it by faith. Build it by living in that faith day after day. Go forward. Do battle with Satan. Avoid his evils. Avoid those who strive to point out to you that the cost is too high to be a Christian and you should just sort of ignore that and live your life as good as you can in this earth and enjoy this life in this earth without having to go through all the hassles and suffer the persecution of being a Christian. Yes, that's a cost. But it's a cost that we as God's people are willing to pay. We're willing to suffer that persecution and rejection and of others in order that we can serve our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so the cost of discipleship is high, but the joys and the rewards are overwhelming. And so let's put God first. Obey that first commandment. Love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. And so serve him. Live in faith day by day. Seek him. Pray to him. Seek his guidance and direction. And God will bless us each day as we walk the way with our Savior, Jesus Christ. May God grant us such a walk of faith. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Service will continue as we give our offerings to the Lord.